Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors. We're your friends,
your friends.
We're your neighbors,
we're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand,
lifting hands,
and our favors.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars.
Greetings and welcome to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. Thank you, our radio listening audience, for joining us this morning for another beautiful and profound discussion on human life is in the life of the Creator. That human life is in the life of the Creator. Yes, we don't think about it in that respect. We're so caught up in this world and our physical life. But it's a very, very interesting discussion and one that we would like you to participate in. Join us. Ask questions. Give your comments. We'd love to hear from you. This is your show, and we will begin as we give you a summary of what the title will be all about today, our show will be all about. One moment, please. Here I am trying to bring up the summary today for you. All right, seems like here I'm having, all right, okay, I think I see what this problem is now. Now, about the summary today. Human life is in the life of the Creator. And people, the Creator's life is eternal and spiritual. So true human life is spiritual, not temporary. Most people look for life only in material things. Allah, the Creator, says he created the material world from nothing. So people, gaining material things without having a spiritual life is like gaining nothing and lose all that we have, our immortal souls. Material things have no value. Allah says in the Quran that the material world is a deceiver. Now you can see it, and soon it's gone. The real good is eternal good. So people, make your choice before it's too late. And people, Allah says, this world is a fool's paradise and a prison for the righteous people. Yes, yes, as you can see, we will have another powerful discussion today. And we're so thankful to have all of you join us this morning. I see we do have our switchboard here lit up, and we're ready to hear from you. Right now, I want you to know that Imam Shahid Shabazz has been struggling for over 40 years, almost 50 years, trying to do outreach work out in the community, which is dawah work, spreading the word of truth to the people and calling them back to their Creator and the right way to live. So, we will introduce him today. He is the host of the show. And we will have any of you who want to join us to hit the number one button. Hit the number one button on that phone. And your number will show up in the studio. Then you can join us. And now, Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Good, good, good. I'm glad I'm able to get through. First, I want to greet our loving brothers and sisters who are listening today, joining us in the beautiful greetings of peace from our Creator, Allah, the one and only Creator of all people and all things. And that is the beautiful greetings of As-salam, the peace of Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Next, I want people to open with the opening chapter or surah in the Holy Quran, the final and last book of revealed knowledge by the Creator Allah to all mankind. All the other revelations Allah revealed to Moses, Abraham, Prophet Jesus, and all the prophets and messengers, all of them, over 200 and some thousand, it wasn't for the whole world at that time, in their time. But what happened in the beginning of time, all mankind was one, Allah said in the Quran. And then later on, people went astray. And so he sent messengers and prophets to call the people back to his goodness and his justice. And that's what the sister was saying about me for the 45 odd, maybe about some almost 50 years. He's blessed me. That's amazing to me because the unbelievers have tried to kill me in so many ways. So I'm not going to, in 45 years, all over this country in particular, they don't want true Islam here because they know, and they don't want true Islam in the world because the evil powers to be in the governments all around the world, they know if the people get true Islam, correct Islam, they will wake up out of this sleep, this deep, dark sleep of ignorance of their Creator and understand that they weren't created to live in evil, that evil will destroy this human spiritual life, and the goodness of our Creator will bring our life back and His justice. Because you can't have His goodness without His justice. Because He said you're not a true believer until you want for your brother among mankind what you want for yourself, the good. With that said, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Sirata ladhina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim wadh-dhalin. Amin. This is what we said for those who don't understand the Arabic language. We said, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the master, the ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, Allah, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your favor, your grace. Not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray from your guidance after you have guided them aright. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum again. Now, people, I want to start off like this here, and I'm going to be brief, because this is something that is in the Quran, and for all of you that have read the Quran, you read it, and it's in also in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him. You know, people, when we speak of the Creator Allah, we're talking about light. Allah said He is the light, L-I-G-H-T, the light of the heavens and the earth. And right now, I'm looking outside, the beautiful sunlight is shining so bright down here in North Carolina, and it's dispelled all darkness. So that is the same way the light of the Creator, it destroys all darkness and ignorance, which keeps us into evil and corruption. When we and even in the Christian Bible, they'll say a lot, my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Now, they're supposed to be talking about Allah, the Creator's knowledge now. And they're right if they're talking about Allah. If you don't have the knowledge of your Creator and who He created you and the purpose of life that He created you to live, then people, the only other way is the evil way of the Satan. See, Allah said he created man and woman, and he say he put us down here on earth, and he say he also put Satan, the arch enemy of mankind, down here on earth to test us with evil, and Allah said he tests us with his goodness. And Allah said he do this to see who would choose the evil of this world and Satan in this world, and his trick is these material things, worship things other than the creator who they can't see, or who will worship the unseen creator they can't see. So true faith, no matter what your religion is, you got the same creator, ain't but one, Allah. And he's unseen. You can't see him. But you're supposed to fear to do wrong if you're a true believer in the creator, as if though you're seeing him watching you doing this wrong. And I did, before I was even a Muslim, when I used to do wrong, some bad things, I could feel the presence of the Creator watching me, and I felt so ashamed. I felt like I wanted to go hide somewhere, but I won't know where to hide. Where am I going to go hide from the Creator? So, people, if you don't have this type of mentality and this type of spirit and intention, near intention, evil will always have you wrapped up into this corruption of this evil world. And Allah say the root of all evil, and my conclusion at this time, is the love of the material world. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And people, as you can see, we have a powerful discussion for you today. And yes, it is a discussion. That means what? You join us. Ask questions. Be ready for us here. Let us hear from you. This is for you. And not just Imam Shahid Shabazz, our sister Isla, and those of us who join you regularly. We do have quite a few guests today. So our party right now, see if we can call someone who's been on about as long as we've been here. And that's our beautiful brother from Georgia that we love so much, who's with us every Sunday. And we want to make a lot for him joining us. As-salamu alaykum, ma'am. Abdul Kareem.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister and brother?
Oh, doing very fine, brother Kareem Shabazz. And pray that you and your family in the Atlanta community of believers are doing well as well.
I'm doing we're all well here. What
That's
I want
good.
To talk about is glorifying Allah. Allah says in the Quran, so glorify Allah in the evening and in the morning. This is in chapter 30, Ar-Rum, verse 17. To glorify Allah means to proclaim Allah's being free from and exalted above the defects, faults, and weaknesses which the idol worshippers ascribe to him due to their idolatry and denial of the hereafter. The best form of this proclamation and expression is the prayer. That is why many commentators say that to glorify means to offer the prescribed prayer. A clear indication in favor of this commentary is contained in the verse itself, because it lays down definite times for the glorification of Allah. Evidently, it was meant to instill the belief that Allah is free from all defects and weaknesses. There should be no question of the restriction of the times of the morning and evening and the early and late afternoon, for a Muslim should always have this belief. Similarly, if it was meant to teach glorifying Allah merely verbally, it should be meaningless to specify the times, for a Muslim should express Allah's glory at all times.
That's right.
Therefore, the command to glorify Allah within the restriction of specific times points to the daily prayer. This verse clearly points to the times of the Fajr, which is the morning prayer, and the Maghrib, which is the evening prayer. The Asr is late afternoon, and the Zuhr is early afternoon prayer. Besides this, the other indirect reference made to the times of the prayer in the Quran are as follows. Allah says, establish prayer from the declining of the sun to the darkness of the night, and hold fast to the recitation of the Quran at dawn. For the recitation of the Quran at dawn is witnessed. This is in chapter 17, Bani Israel, Isra, verse 78. The recital of the Quran at dawn is witnessed by the angels of Allah. It has been explained in the traditions. So the angels witness each prayer and each good deed. The special mention of their being witnesses at the time of the recital of the Quran during the dawn prayer gives it a particular importance. That is why the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, used to recite long passages from the Quran during the dawn prayer.
Yes.
His example was followed by the companions, and the succeeding Muslim scholars held it to be a desirable thing. In this verse, it has been briefly stated how to establish prayer, which was made obligatory at the prescribed timings on the occasion of the night journey, the Miraj. It
yes.
has been ordained that the first prayer is to be offered before the sun rising, and the remaining four after the declining of the sun till the darkness of the night. Afterwards, the angel Jibril was sent to the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, to define
yes.
the limits of the timings of each prayer. According to a tradition of the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, Jibril led me in the five prayers twice near the Kaaba. On the first day, he offered the Duha prayer, just after the declining of the sun, when the shadow of everything was the shortest. Then he offered the Asr prayer, when the shadow of each thing was equal to its own length. Then the Maghrib prayer, at the time when one breaks his fast. And the Isha prayer was offered just at the time when twilight had disappeared. And Fajr prayer, at the time when it becomes unlawful to eat and drink anything for the one who intends to observe a fast. The next day, he offered the Duha prayer at the time when the shadow of each thing became equal to its own length, and the Asr prayer when the shadow had doubled. The Maghrib prayer was offered as on the previous day, and the Isha prayer when one-third of the night had passed away, and the Fajr prayer when light had spread all over. After this, Jibril turned towards me and said, O Muhammad, these are the timings of prayer of the Prophet, and the right timings are between these two extreme limits. Allah says, and establish the prayer at the two ends of the day and in the first hours of the night. Indeed, the good deeds drive away the evil deeds. This is a reminder to those who are mindful of Allah. This is in chapter Hud, chapter 11, verse 114. There's great wisdom in this system of the timings of prayer. One of these is to avoid the timings of the worship of the sun worshipers. In every age, the sun has been one of the greatest deities of the idolaters who worshiped it at the time of sunrise and sunset. Therefore, these two times have totally been forbidden for prayer. Besides this, they worship the sun at the time of its zenith, which is at its highest point. That is why Islam has ordained that the Muslims should offer their two prayers during the daytime after the sun has declined, and the Fajr prayer before the sunrise. The Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, himself has stated this wisdom of the timing of prayer in several traditions. For instance, in the tradition related by Ammar bin Abbasa, the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, is reported to have replied to a question to this effect. Offer your morning prayer, but refrain from it when the sun is about to rise until it has risen high, for the sun rises between the horns of Satan. and the unbelievers fall prostrate before it at that time. Then after mentioning the Asa prayer, he said, after Asa prayer...
Brother Kareem?
Yes.
I don't mean to cut you. Okay.
After Asa prayer, refrain from any prayer until the sunset. For during that time, the sun sets between the horns of Satan and the unbelievers fall prostrate before it. Assalamu alaikum. Sorry I took so much time, but I just wanted to get all of that in to paint a picture of what the responsibility of the Muslim is to glorify Allah.
No, sir, you done well, but I just want to give all the guests an opportunity to come on because I know you're going to be there. I'm going to be there as long as we're living, inshallah, and Sister Isla. So we want others to join us that they may share, ask questions, and this is very important because Allah, in our Christian experience, and this is brief, a lot of people have told me over the years, they tried to be the best Christian they could be, but one of the things that turned them off and turned me off is when you go to the Christian ministers and pastors and you ask them certain things, they tell you you don't question God. You don't question the God. God don't certain things he don't want you to know. But if he didn't want you to know, how you going to know how to serve your creator if you don't know him? So you got to have knowledge. So that's what turned people off from Christianity because of the Christian teachings being one that they say you just accept what the preacher or the rabbi or the minister give you and don't ask no questions. You can't learn if you don't ask questions. Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to say that.
Walaikum assalam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz from the Al-Kaaba Theater. And we thank you for joining us this Sunday. And now I'm going to have another guest who might want to express themselves, give us a word or two, ask questions, make comments. This is your show again. And this number is a 313 number, 313-412-1273. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay, we do have guests, and we'd like to say we are thankful for having you. It's not necessary for you to join us and asking questions or giving comments. But when your number shows up on the switchboard, that's when I see your number. That tells us that you have something to say. It's showing up here, and this is why I call on you. So my apologies if you do not wish to say anything. Just join us and enjoy the discussion for today. I will now screen you. Okay, let's go on to another number we have here. And that number is, I believe, another beautiful brother here that usually joins us. I believe I'm recognizing his number this time. Let's see, name Abdul Kareem from Winston Salem. I'm from Malacca.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah.
Very well. All praise is due to Allah. You're right. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah. We can't never give too much glory and praise to our Creator. Yes.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I haven't been on the show for a little while, but it's good to hear everybody. Alhamdulillah. And good to hear you giving the dawah and, you know, sharing this information of getting closer and drawing ourselves nearer to the Lord and the creator of the world and further from the things that displease him. So it's always, alhamdulillah, good to be a part of that. I just left the jail. Unfortunately, we got, you know, plenty of brothers and sisters that are in the county jail over here. And we had a good discussion over there. And I just wanted to touch on one of the topics that we touched on at Juma at the jail was the company that you keep and how the friends and people that you surround yourself with as close intimate friends that you can, that you call to share information, you know, to ask what should I do, you know, to it, those people in Islam, or at least in Quran, Allah calls your awliya, your close, your real close, intimate friends, you know, your close circle. Hey, I got this terrible situation. What should I do? Or I'm considering this. Is it good or bad? Those people, you should make sure believe like you do. You know, those awliya, and Allah says specifically in Quran, take Muslims as your close friends. Take people who, a Muslim is somebody who worships God and believes in God and fears God the way he should be feared. And those should be your close friends, and that who is who you should get your advice from. Because if you take advice from people who don't fear Allah, if your closest friends are people who could care less about God, care less about worshiping Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything that exists, if those are the people that you get advice from, then Allah says you're giving Allah manifest evidence against yourself. So you can't say, oh, I'm this good, righteous person, but everybody around me is bad, but I'm still this good, righteous, great person. No, who's your friends? Your closest friends, you on their religion, right? You're either giving dawah or you're getting dawah. And dawah is just what this show is about, like just giving information about your Lord. You're either giving or you're getting it. You know, you're either giving religious information or you're following your friend's religious information. And
that's right.
That is just so clear. I think it rang like a bell. And I said, listen, if the company that you keep is, could all your company that you keep could care less about your Lord and could care less about praying and worshiping and doing good things, then you're not going to be praying, you're not going to be worshiping, and you're not going to be doing good things, because they're going to call you to evil.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen. So the company that you keep is very important. And I told him, he's like, hey, if you can't find friends in the street, come to the mosque more often, because you'll sure find nothing but people worshiping Allah at the masjid. And, you know, that's the place where you want to spend your time. If you got a choice between spending time hanging out on the road, on the side of the road, or hanging out at the mosque, you should choose the mosque if you really want to please your Lord. So I just wanted to make that point because it came up, and I thought it was pertinent to know that the company that you keep is going to be a clear evidence for or against you on the day of judgment, on a day when the Lord calls everybody to account. So try to keep good company. Try to get information and listen to shows like this one that give you tips and ideas and things you can do and information that you may not have known or you may have forgotten on how to get closer to your Lord. And I appreciate all of you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Back to you, Brother Abdul Kareem. And we always thank Allah for your humble humility. And I'm here with you, so I know you're a humble brother. And you want for others what you want, the good for yourself, by the works that you do. I see you do, and as well as you see me do. So a believer is known by their, not only the company they keep, but by their works also. Because Allah says in the Quran, like you said, Allah says, the creator say, bad company corrupts good manners. So if you're holding bad company, it's going to corrupt your manners. You'll start if they cursing and saying vulgar, vain things, and you are not that type of person who says those things, you be around them long enough, soon you'll be doing it. So it's very important, as the Brother Imam said, to keep good company, people. And Allah said the good company will keep you reminded of your Creator and the purpose He created you. And that is to live a good life and to call all others to share the good life that He created for us with you. So at this time, I'm finished. If we have any more guests, I'll give away to the co-host. Assalamu alaikum.
Aleichem Ha'aslam, you are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And as you can see, we're discussing human life. It's the life of a Creator. Okay, so what does that mean? That means you have to live according to the Creator and the way of life that He has ordained and designed for you to live, and not according to the plans of man. And your best friends, as they're saying, and those you associate with, they can will only lead you astray, lead you on the wrong path. And that is why we are having all these problems that we have today, because most people are allowing themselves to go astray by following what others do instead of following what their Creator has planned and ordained for them to do. Now
that's right.
We have here a number that's well, to new here, I believe. It's 419-418-4367. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? All right. I believe this is another person who has called in to just listen. A lot of people want to just listen first. They haven't heard the show and don't know what it's all about, and they just want to get some information and see what's going on with this show. So we appreciate you. We appreciate your support. We pray that we are giving you the information that you are seeking and that you will enjoy the show today. And at any time, people, that you are have anything to say, for those who haven't pushed the number one button and for those of you who have, but at this particular time don't want to say anything, I will get back to you later and try again. We always give you a second chance just in case you might not want to say anything, but further on down, as you listen, Lord, there might be a thought that comes to your mind that you would like to express. So we do give you another chance to express yourself, to say something, to come to join us and participate in the discussion. And now we will have our Imam again, and have some more beautiful words from him, from the Quran, and that's the Imam from Georgia, Imam Abdul Karim Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
The best way of making you virtuous is to establish prayer, which will remind you of Allah over and over again, which will produce those good characteristics in you that shall help you fight successfully against the systematic and united front of evil that has been formed against the mission of the truth. This will also enable you to establish the system of virtue and reform. Allah says, so bear patiently with what they say. Glorify your Lord, praising Him before sunrise and before sunset and in the watches of the night, and glorify Him, and at the end of the day, that you may attain to happiness. This is in chapter 20, chapter Taha, verse 130. Notice that what I'm talking about here and what Allah is saying is that there are specific times for us to pray, and there are specific times for us not to pray. And so we have to pray at the times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to pray. And if we pray outside of these times, we're not following what Allah said. We're not following the guidance that Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the night journey, when he went to meet with Allah. So these are the law. This is the law. This is when we pray, and this is when we don't pray. And so we need to be mindful of that and pray at the times that have been prescribed for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah has said is to comfort and console the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, as if to say, Allah does not intend to destroy them yet, for He has appointed to them a term of respite. So you should endure with patience whatever they do against you, and hear their harsh talk, and go on performing the obligations of your mission. This implies that the perseverance required to face adverse circumstances is obtained by the establishment of prayer. For this purpose, you should offer prayer in accordance with the prescribed time, because it will create in you self-control and endurance. The times of prayer have been prescribed. Fajr prayer before sunrise, Asr prayer before sunset, Isha and Tahajjud prayers during the hours of night, morning and afternoon prayers, Duhur and Maghrib at the extremes of the day. Note, the literal meaning of Tahajjud is to rise up by breaking sleep. It means rise up from sleep after the passing of a part of night and then offer your prayer. The Tahajjud prayer is in addition to the five prescribed prayers. And another thing about the Tahajjud prayer is that it's an odd number of rak'ah. It's not two rak'ah, but it has to be one or three. It has to be five or seven. However many rak'ah you pray, you have to make sure that you pray an odd number. Glorify your Lord means offer your prescribed prayers, as in clear from Ayah 132, verse 132 in chapter 20, chapter Taha. Enjoin prayer on your household and keep observing it. We do not ask you for any worldly provision. Rather, it is we who provide you, and ultimately the pious will end up the best. The original Arabic text admits of two meanings. Rest content with your present condition in which you have to hear many unpleasant things for the sake of your mission, and submit to this decree that they are not being punished for the time being, for they will continue to persecute you and at the same time lead prosperous lives. And this has happened to all of us, especially Imam Shahid Shabazz, who has been struggling for 45 years under the threat of death in different occasions. And alhamdulillah, Allah has protected him and provided for him and brought him to where he is today. And inshallah, he will continue on for many more years. The second meaning of this text is go on performing your mission. For as a result of this, you will be fully satisfied. The first of these verses tells that the times of the prayer are from the declining of the sun to the darkness of the night, Isha, after which is the time of the morning prayer, Fajr. In the second verse, the two ends of the day imply the times of the morning and the evening prayer. And in the early part of the night implies the time of Isha. In the third verse, before the rising of the sun implies the Fajr time. Thus the Quran at different places has pointed to the five prayer times at which the Muslims the world over offer their prayers. I'm going to stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you very much, brother Imam Abdul Karim Shabazz, for just mentioning, you know, the jihad or the struggle that Allah has blessed me to come through for 45 years in a country that really hates Islam, in a country, a government that really hates true Islam, a government that don't want the truth to be known in this country, because they know that if the truth is known in this country, they cannot continue to keep the corrupt establishment here to keep the people in the darkness concerning Allah. They want to be gods themselves over the people. In fact, so much so that in the Quran, Allah said these type of people, like the American government, they wish they could live a life of 1,000 years, really meaning that they wish they could live forever and just destroy the masses of the people, and a few people be around here on earth ruling the earth as if though they are some gods or lords over people's lives. So prayer is the key. The first thing that we will be judged on the day of Yom Kippur or resurrection and judgment is prayer. And I stand to be corrected by any man or anybody that knows the truth. Allah, the Most High, says the first thing he's going to ask everybody on the day of judgment, he's going to ask them about their prayers. And he say, if their prayers was in order like the man is saying, he's going to say, okay then, well, you can enter my heaven. You can enter my heaven. Come on back home. You can come on home with me again and live forever and enjoy the bliss of my heaven. He say, but if your prayers is not in order, you ain't been making your prayers, he's not even going to judge you. He's going to tell the angels to take the people to the hellfire, to take you into the hellfire. So prayer is that important. You got to establish prayer, because like the imam said, prayer keeps us in remembrance of our Creator in this evil world. I shared that with my wife this morning. Stay in prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is power. Why? Because the Creator of prayer is what? All powerful. And even in the Quran, I'm going to show y'all what the evil one, the people, most people in all walks of life identify as Satan or the devil. This devil says in the Quran, most people think he got power on this earth. But he says in the Holy Quran, he says, lo, he's speaking to the people that say the devil made me do this. He said, no, I didn't make you do anything. He says, I fear Allah. Now listen, evil saying, I fear Allah. So if evil, the chief evil one, the Satan, fears Allah, how much more we as weak human beings in the flesh should fear our Lord? And you show your fear of Allah by keeping up your prayer. And Allah says also, Brother Imams, he said, remember me at the stated salat of prayer times. And then he says, remember me after those times, meaning that after you get through making your prescribed salats at the prescribed time, don't go and forget Allah, because a lot of Muslims will make their prayers and then they'll get up and they'll go, I've seen it many times, and go sell some dope. Or they'll go commit fornication or adultery, go lie, steal. I seen one brother in Baltimore, and I ain't calling no names. We use an example. When I was in Baltimore some years back, he would sell drugs down by a liquor store about when Jumu'ah prayer came in on Friday, he would leave from his drug spot and put on his long Islamic clothing and come to Jumu'ah prayer. And after he make his prayer, he would go right back down then and start back on his drug corner selling drugs. So this kind of conduct is not accepted to Allah. Allah, the Most High, Creator of the heavens and the earth, say if you pray to him, even at all the prescribed times, the imam said, and you get up from your prayer and go do some evil, intentionally do some wrong, he said you don't get closer to him. You don't do nothing but get farther away from him into the hellfire. So remember that. And I wanted to share something with y'all briefly. It won't take long. You know, it is said that on the day of judgment that there, and I stand to be corrected, that there will be, Allah said, well, on the day of judgment, it's going to be complete darkness. And say the only people that are going to be able to see on that day are going to be those who have the light, the nur, the light of Allah. See, those without Allah's light, they ain't going to be able to see nothing. They're going to be in complete darkness. And so they're going to be a bridge, Allah say, on that day. And it's going to call us, correct me, members, if I need to correct, the Sirat. And so that bridge is going to lead people over into heaven. But if you don't have the light of your Creator, Allah, with you, you won't be able to see that bridge. And you will walk under the bridge, and that under the bridge leads into the hellfire. So people, Allah say people will be running that don't have the light, that's in spiritual darkness, will run up to those who have the spiritual light of Allah and say,
let us borrow some light from your light. And Allah say he done already told those that have his light to tell them, we got enough light, just enough light for ourselves. We can't give you no light. We give you some of our light, we won't get into heaven. If you ain't got his light, go to the back of the line or somewhere, try to find you something. We can't share none with you. So what is this saying? This is saying that everybody need to realize, this is so serious, that they have a personal relationship.
Yeah.
A personal relationship with the Creator. I don't know, did anybody say anything?
And Nikki's going to come through. Yeah, I believe I heard something coming from someone. I'm going to have to check and see if I have another line here. Yes, I think I do have. All right, I'm closing this line up so that maybe we won't hear that noise anymore.
Oh, okay.
I have them both up in the... Another. Once we have guest speakers on, I sometimes don't close the line. I leave it open. But there are other people also in wherever they are, too. So we will get the noises from them. And I, at this time, have closed those lines until we call them back on again.
Okay, I'm going to make this brief. But anyway, this is very important that we understand that, you know, in order to get to heaven, or, you know, the Jannah, what we call the heaven of our Creator in the hereafter, the eternal world of Allah, you must have his light here in this world. And the only way you can get his light, as the man from Georgia spoke very well on and very important, is prayer. Because your prayer is what you're going to be judged first on the day of judgment. And if your prayers are not in order, like the imam said, and praying at the stated times, because there is, I'm glad he brought that up, times we're not supposed to pray, not saying we forgot our Creator, but he is the one say don't pray at that time, because he say evil ones are praying at that time. Ain't of God worshipers are praying at that time. Satan is praying at that time with his evil followers, so don't pray with them. Do you be worshiping them rather than Allah? So that's what the man meant by that, and that's correct. But prayer is going to be the first thing we're going to be judged on the day of judgment. And like I said, if you have the light of Allah, you'll be able to see. And matter of fact, you'll be able to see Allah, your Creator, for the first time. You'll be able to see him. But if you don't have his light, you won't be able to see him. And you'll be able to see. He'll show you how he'll guide you through his light right across the bridge into his heaven. And we won't go into other things about that bridge. The main thing is you have to have the light of your Creator. Even in this world, to know right from wrong, you have to have what's called the light of the of truth. And this light of truth is in the revelation of your Creator. His final revelation, the Quran, for everybody. And if you read the Quran, like the ma'am say, especially in the early hours of the morning when most people are asleep, it's special blessings that the Creator say he sent so many countless angels down to bring blessings upon you because you're forsaken sleep to praise your Lord, to remember your Lord. And that's something that we say, and I'm through in the morning when we call our morning prayer, As-salatu makari manam. If I'm not saying it in the Arabic, we want the meaning. It means prayer is better than sleep. So we must remember that remembrance of our Creator in this evil world is better than not remembering him. Because when you forget your Creator, Allah, he says in the Quran, Allah says, when you forget me, you forget your own soul. Again, he say, remember me, and I will remember you, and reject not faith in me. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, brother. I
what?
Didn't hear you there for a minute. I want to make sure you had finished. We do have, at this particular time here. So I want to remind you that you're listening to the radio broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the theater. We come on every Sunday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and invite others, too, to join you as you join us. And anytime you want to say something, just push the number one button. If you want to join us in the discussion and asking questions and giving comments, push number one button on your phone. Your number will show up. So I'm going to give some of the others a chance now to see if there might be someone on here who I see I have two now. I know 1-804 number. That is a beautiful supporter, Imam Shahid Shabazz's cousin. But we have another one here today, so I'm going to try to see if this person would like to come in at this time. Okay.
We hear a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah, I know. That was the number I just called. I pulled up. Let's join up. So
okay.
I'm going to call at this time. Let's have the Imam on again. We know that he's here to join us, too, and give us some beautiful things, some beautiful information from the Quran. And that's our Imam from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Imam Abdul Karim, Assalamu alaikum. You're back on again.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam wa barakatuh. Can you hear me, sister? Wa
yes,
alaikum
I can
salam.
Hear you now.
Okay, I think I have my mute button on because when you said you heard background noise, I wasn't sure if you still had me live. So I hit my mute button and then I was talking and you couldn't hear me. So alhamdulillah, bil alameen. Thanks for having me back on. Alhamdulillah, Imam Shabazz, shukran for the wonderful information and what you were saying about the salat and the prayer, which is a beautiful thing. Only thing I could add or that I would like to add to that is just it magnifies the beauty of Islam. So if you've already accepted Islam, that's wonderful. But if you haven't already accepted Islam, how does anybody know how to worship their Lord if they didn't get the information from their messenger? No matter what religion, no matter what religion you are, what you choose to worship, I pray that it's God that you choose to worship. But whatever you worship, if you think you're worshiping God, if you want to worship God, you can't just do it any way you want.
That's right.
I can't just say playing the guitar makes me happy, so I'm going to worship God by playing a guitar. Some people say that it's okay. I'm not going to just say dancing makes me happy, so I'm going to just dance around in circles and worship God. And some people think that that's okay. Some people
that's
think
right.
that whatever pleases them, they could do it for their Lord. Whatever pleases
that's right.
them, they could count that as worship. No. You have to look at it the way the reason that Allah sent us messengers, the reason He sent us Moses and Abraham and Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on them all, is because
yes.
He told them what He likes and how He wants to be worshipped. And their message was to tell us. That was their job, to tell us what God liked and how He wants to be worshipped. And if
that's
it's
right.
not according to that, then you're making something up. You can't just say, hey, I love skydiving, so I'm going to jump out of a plane with my parachute, and that's my prayer. That's how I worship. No, I like jumping up and down on one foot. I like building a fire. I like playing an organ. I like, okay, all those things you like, you don't know if God likes that.
That's
unless,
right.
Unless His messenger told you. And He's chosen
right.
His messengers, the best people that He ever created, ever.
Yes.
The best people
that's
He
right.
ever created were his prophets and messengers. And he told those people to give the message to us on what pleases him, him meaning Allah, for lack of a better word, what pleases him and what doesn't. So if it doesn't please Allah, or if it pleases Allah, we know, because our religion is complete. The Prophet, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he, before he died, he asked Allah publicly, did I reveal the message? Really? I'm all the way over here. Sorry about that. The kids just hit my car with the basketball. I purposely moved 20 car spaces away, and they still found my car to hit it with the ball. MashaAllah, I'm sorry about that. Alhamdulillah, you know, the kids are beautiful, but alhamdulillah, they could keep that basketball over there. But if you don't know, if you don't know that it's pleasing to your Lord, you can't do it and say it's part of worship.
No, you can't.
And we all know you can't. You just can't. You just can't, no matter how much it pleases you. That's like my mother. You want to, my mother invites you over for dinner. I invite Imam Shahid Shabazz and Imam Abdul Karim from Atlanta and the sister from D.C. I say, come on over. My mom's inviting us over for dinner. She's cooking a big halal turkey for us and a wonderful meal. And Imam Shahid wants to bring roses. I'm the one who's going to tell him, because he doesn't know my mother. I have to say, my mother has this really bad allergies. You can't bring roses over there, but, you know, thanks. And maybe Imam Karim wants to bring chocolate. And I say, oh, my mother's diabetic. She can't eat chocolate or whatever. And then, of course, the sister from D.C., mostly because usually sisters have it right, she'll say, I'm going to bring your mother some slippers. I say, that's fantastic. Bring her some nice bedroom slippers. I love those. You know, because I know that I'm my mother's messenger. And
that's right.
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So he
that's
knows.
Right.
I can't just play some drums and start singing and spinning around and saying, I'm doing this for Allah. He told us specifically how to pray. We know exactly how to do it. We do it 5 times a day because we know officially this pleases Allah. And I don't know if any other religions have that official direct information on how to pray exactly the way it pleases their Lord. And alhamdulillah, just thank you, brothers, for giving us the opportunity to share it, because we're supposed to do that as Muslims. Your brothers and sisters, of course, alhamdulillah. And that's all I wanted to say. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. You said a lot, brother Imam Karim, and I just want to say briefly, this is what teaches my beloved wife. I recently was blessed by Allah the Most High. Well, I said to her, Allah sent me an angel from heaven. This lady has been a Christian down here in corrupt North Carolina, where I've been persecuted and they tried to kill me the most. They hate Muslims more here in this state, and I've been all over this country. I still say in North Carolina, the hatred towards Muslims is worse than anywhere I've been in the United States. And I never thought that the Creator would bless me with a spiritual wife out of this state. One person called this, I think Minister Farrakhan or somebody, Malcolm X even came here when he came down here, and both of them said, this ain't nothing but a plantation. And one person, one of them or somebody else said, North Carolina, Ida Mine is the devil's workshop. And then somebody said, well, North Carolina is the devil's workshop because it's full of Ida Mine. And an Ida Mine means an empty mind, a mind that ain't focused on the Creator, but it's focused, like you were saying, man, on what it want to do. I want to go over here and smoke me a joint, so I go do it. I want to. I'm a man, but I don't want to be with no woman. I want to be with me another man. I'm a woman, but I don't want no man. I want me another woman, and I see more. I still work out in the community, and Brother Imam Abdul Karim know that in Greensboro, North Carolina, High Point, Winston-Salem, Salisbury, and I see. I do door to door, like the prophets and the messengers, peace be upon them all. And I see more lesbian, more women, females with females than I do male and female. And I mean, so you can see the time we're in. And the Satan, he said to Allah, and I'm through, he said, I'm going to, when Allah told him,
You got to get out of here. You can't stay in my kingdom and not obey me. You're going to rise up against something that I say I'm not all-knowing, not you. So the Satan, he said to Allah that since you put me out, which is a lie, he started off lying. He put himself out of heaven because he rebelled against the will of his creator. And when he got down, Allah put him down here, he said, I'm going to change the nature of man and woman. Do you know what changing the nature means? Allah says in the Quran, he created the nature of good in every human being. And he created the nature of a female in a female. And he created the nature of a male to be a man. And the nature of a female to be a female. And he said he created everything he created in pairs. So we can't take a male and a male and come together intimately and produce a child. It takes a male and a female. So that's against the order and law, moral law of the Creator. But down here in North Carolina, and I'll be 63 years old if I live to see Tuesday, inshallah. And for those 63 years, I've seen the people in my state, North Carolina, they love evil so much, they got a museum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's called Salem Lot. It's dedicated to the witches all over the world. All over the earth, it's dedicated to the witches. Satan got a museum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Salem's Lot. And they got all kind of paraphernalia in there, of things in there representing evil and what poison and evil, all kinds of evil. And most people that stay in Winston-Salem, don't even, black people, they don't even know. And white people, they don't even know about that museum. And they've been here all their life. So I just want to say what the imam was saying. You know, Allah is good, our Creator is good, and he only accepts good people. So those, and Allah said those who confuse their faith with their wrongdoing, they are off his path, he will not guide them. So if you want to be guided by your Creator, whoever you say you, if you worship the true Creator, then you can't confuse your wrongdoing or what you want to do with the Creator. I wrote that down this morning. He said all the good that happens to people come from him. And he said, all the evil that happens to people come from ourselves. So I'm through. I just wanted to confirm what Imam Kareem was saying. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum as-salam. You're listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabbat, the reality of the Creator. And today's discussion is human life is in the life of the Creator. And we can see that now, and we see what time you're in. This reminds you today of the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the times of Egypt, of all the nations that have been destroyed, and you can understand why they were destroyed. Because we have all of them combined in the evilness and wickedness that's going on today.
That's right.
I think of two things right now that I'm thinking about is that all I see on Facebook now is warnings about what? The trafficking. The trafficking that's going on. This is terrible. They are running and grabbing young people, young girls mainly, from teenagers on up through younger age to a certain age to say because they have the better. What they're doing in some cases are to sending them, grabbing them and sending them over to other countries to be prostitutes in one respect and in other respect. They say they're taking organs from somebody. If there's an organ during the need to organ, they want it from a young person because their organs are better.
That's
so
right.
They are grabbing them and taking their organs, killing them. And they're charging thousands of dollars, I understand, for people. They have older women, people involved in them taking these youth today. So, yes, this is worst time that we have, can't ever think about in history that we have lived in today. And we just had my brother here in D.C. that was killed this weekend. He was going to a meeting, and that meeting was to, well, they were gathering together to try to see if they could get out. They could do job all like we are. They weren't necessarily Muslims, but there were people who wanted to get out into the street and do dawah and stop this evilness and remind the people of the good, how they've gone back, how they've gone astray. But this particular person, as he walked away from his meeting, someone was outside and shot and killed him. And They said he was a very good person in the community, so they can't understand why someone would do that to him.
Absolutely.
Times for the evil times.
Yes, we are. The most evil times.
Yes, they are. So this is why we are talking so strong on this station to try to reach you. Everyone's trying, who can, who's doing right. Be joining this righteousness and try to bring back the good reality of life the way our Creator created it. This is why we're having so many problems, because it's totally astray from that way now. And so people want you to listen carefully to what's being said. Take it to heart and try to get involved in one way or another, and reaching out to the community too to try to reach others to bring them back. And now let's see, I think we're going to try to have here our man from Georgia. I see another number here that's a different 419 number than I had before. I'm sorry, a 313 number that's different from the 313 number that I had before. So we'll try this number and see if this person would have something to say at this time. It's 313-412-1273. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from? Okay. We have a few callers today, guests that are calling in, and for some reason the numbers are showing in on the switchboard here, and they actually don't want to talk. They just want to listen, and we want to let you know that we're very thankful to you for joining us and giving us support. Whether you have something to say or not, I would like to comment. Sometimes it is better to listen. You get more information that way, and when you're ready to talk, you have a lot to pour out. So
that's right.
We want to thank you for joining us. And we're going to go back now to the our email in Georgia.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
I want to thank Brother Kareem from Winston-Salem for that essay that he gave us on not doing prayer the way we want to do it, but doing what Allah says do. That was very clear and concise and to the point.
That's right.
The recommendation is this. The prayer does not remain confined to physical movements, but becomes a very function of the heart and the motivating force for the morals and character.
That's right.
The desired quality of the prayer is being mentioned by the Quran itself in the next sentence. And this is a verse that I had read earlier. As for its recitation, one should know that the recitation which does not reach the heart beyond the throat cannot give man enough power to remain steadfast in his faith, not to speak of enabling him to withstand the furies of unbelief.
That's right.
About such people, the hadith says, they will recite the Quran, but the Quran will not go beyond their throats. They will leave the faith just as the arrow leaves the bow. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. As a matter of fact, the recitation which does not affect any change in a man's way of thinking and his morals and character, and he goes on doing what the Quran forbids, is not the recitation of a believer at all.
That's
about
right.
Such a one, the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, has said,
yes,
he who makes lawful what the Quran has declared unlawful has not believed in the Quran at all.
That's
such
right.
Such a recitation does not reform and strengthen a man's self and spirit, but makes him more stubborn and impudent against Allah, and destroys his character altogether. For the case of the person who believes in the Quran as a divine book, reads it, and comes to know what his God Allah has commanded, and then goes on violating his injunctions, is of the culprit who commits a crime, not due to ignorance, but after full knowledge of the law.
That's
Prophet,
right.
Prayers and peace be upon him, has explained this point in detail in a brief sentence. Thus, the Quran is a testimony in your favor as well as against you. And this can
That's
be found in Muslim.
Yes.
That is, if you follow the Quran rightly, it is a testimony in your favor. Whenever you are called to account for your deeds here or in the hereafter, you can produce the Quran as a testimony in your defense, saying
yes.
that whatever you did was in accordance with his book.
Yes.
If what you did was precisely according to it, no jurist in the world will be able to punish you, nor will Allah in the hereafter hold you accountable for it. However,
that's right.
if this book has reached you and you have read it and found out what your Lord demands from you, what he commands and what he forbids, and then you adopt an attitude opposed to it, then this book will be a testimony against you. It will
that's
further
right.
strengthen the criminal case against you in the court of Allah. Then it will
yes.
in no way be possible for you to escape the punishment or receive a light punishment by making the excuse of ignorance. All
That's
these
right.
verses in the Quran clearly indicate that to establish the prayer implies the prayer that the Muslims offer everywhere in the world today. The deniers of Hadith seem to be bent upon changing the Quran instead of changing themselves. The fact is that unless a person becomes wholly fearless of Allah, he cannot dare play with his word as these people do.
That's
or
right, brother.
Only such a person can engage in a pastime like this with respect to the Quran, who believes it is not Allah's word, but intends to mislead the Muslims in the name of the Quran. That
That's
is,
right.
how can Allah, who is doing all this perpetually in front of your eyes, be helpless in raising man to life after death? He is causing absolutely dead matter to be discharged from living men and animals. He is ever bringing into existence countless animals and human beings by breathing life into dead matter, whereas the substances themselves, which make up the bodies of the living beings, are absolutely without life. He is making you witness the phenomenon that wherever water becomes available, lands previously lying barren start blooming and blossoming with animal and vegetable life. In spite of witnessing all this, if a person thinks that Allah, who is sustaining the universe, will be helpless to raise man back to life after death, he is wholly devoid of common sense. His mind's eyes do not see the clear realities gleaming from the manifestation which his head's eyes see. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, brother Imam. Very beautiful subject. Allah bless you to bring to us today about prayer. That is the most important key to the human being's life in this world and in the life hereafter. Prayer. So we thank Allah very much for you. And Brother Abdul Kareem, our beautiful brother here with me in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, doing a great job. We're trying to prevent the brothers and sisters from going back to prison. That's called repeat offenders, you know, keep going back. Institutionalized, some people call it. You know, they seem to be more happy in prison than out on the street. And out on the street, you have a better opportunity to be free to seek your Lord. In the prison, you're under restrictions that do prevent you from giving your full attention and time to your Creator. So you want to try to stay out of cage like an animal. You see, we was created to be higher than animals. So I know the time is running out. So I just wanted to say, this is from the Quran, Surah 2 Al-Baqarah. And it's Ayat 242, and then under it you have some footnotes, and it says, "Thus though Allah make clear," and this is what everybody's done today on the show, talking on the show. "Thus though Allah make clear His signs to you in the Quran, in order that ye may understand." It says, "Fighting in defense of Allah's truth and righteousness is not to be undertaken lightheartedly, nor to be evaded as a duty. Allah says life and death are in His powers. Allah says not all people can be chosen to fight for His truth." He says in order to be able to fight, qualified to fight for His truth and righteousness, it requires you to have constancy, firmness, and faith in Him. You got to be constant in your faith and worshiping and serving Allah and working in his cause. You got to be firm against evil. You can't let evil put no fear in you, and you got to have, above all, faith in Allah, knowing that evil can never defeat the plan of the Creator of the heavens and earth, who have power over good and evil. Allah said if he give you these virtues, one man can defeat a whole army, as shown by the courage of his prophet David or Daoud, whose courage single-handedly, he say, disposed or defeated the Philistines, a giant. Allah said the mission of some of his messengers, like prophet Jesus or Isa, was different. It wasn't as wide for the whole world like that mission he gave to his last prophet Muhammad for all mankind. Allah said his world is universal for every man and every woman. And Allah said he carries out his will as he wills, not as people wills. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Y'all listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator. And at any minute that you want to have a word to say, a question to ask, hit the number one button. Your number should show up in the, I don't know what it's going to show up now, and I think it's until a certain time, I believe, that they put you in the studio, because the studio seems to be filled right now. We can only take so many people at a time. But we pray that you are enjoying it. I want to give this reminder, especially to the women, as I was saying, if when you stop at a service station, stop anywhere, and you come at a parking lot, at a food store or something, you come back to your car, and there's any paper on your car at all, any kind of paper, do not touch it. Do not touch it, because it's scented. And that scent is supposed to eventually knock you out. There's somebody watching you, and they follow you, and once you they see you stopping or something, they grab out and that's it, you're gone. So that, plus if anybody tries to hand you some oils or some cologne or something to smell, try to tell you how good it smells and all, do not take it.
That's right.
The same thing. This is serious times we're living in. And please,
that's right.
Warn others. Warn others. Do not take any papers from your car until you get home and in your yard where you know you're safe.
Right.
Don't take any paper. Stick on
very
your
good, sister. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you. And also, no oils or colognes if they ask you to smell. Please be mindful of that. And if you have any teenagers, youth, young people, remind them also. And also,
that's
one
right.
more other thing. Do not park between two vans or a truck and a van or something like that, because that's what they use. They're using these vans and trucks to grab these young people and take them.
That's right. That's
kidnap
right.
Them. So do not, watch where you park also. Be careful out there. It may be your life.
That's right.
Okay, now I give you back to Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Yes, that was very important what you said, Sister Isla, because that Juma Salat here in Winston-Salem, our Imam Khalid Griggs, may Allah always be with him. He traveled around the country almost every week going to colleges and different colleges teaching what we're teaching on the radio program, the correct way to worship Allah and to follow his prophets and messengers. He said that over in Australia, not too long ago, three Muslim women were just minding their own business, sitting down and praising Allah. And this big, huge man, big man like George Foreman, the boxer, came over and just started beating one Muslim woman in the face, hitting her like a jackhammer. And said once he knocked her down, he just started stomping her. And so he warned us, like you warned us, that we're living in the time when evil is attacking the only power that evil know can destroy. What is that power? It's the power of Allah in the Quran and in the life example of Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the last and universal prophet of Allah for all humankind. And prayers and peace be upon him. And Allah says to Prophet Muhammad to tell us, the true believers in Allah, the Creator, say, we pray to Allah, but then we were taught this too as when I was coming up, watch as well as pray. But he say, praise Allah, your Creator. But watch your surroundings. Use intelligence. Be always alert. We're in a fight. And this fight, I was sharing with my wife this morning, just because she just accepted Islam and over there in her neighborhood, nothing but homosexuals and all kinds of perverted people, evil, wicked people, and she can feel that evil surrounding her. But Allah sent me in the thick of all of that evil, and he sent me as one of his messengers to save her. And she accepted Islam through me. And the first one started attacking her about Islam is her daughters. You know, one of her daughters told her, say, you know, them Muslims, they can have many wives. He probably got a whole lot of wives. And my wife was time enough for her. She told her, say, I think if I, and she told her, say, if he got a whole lot of wives, I'm going to be another one. So, you know, I thank Allah for her having the spiritual insight and wisdom to see the man that Allah has blessed me to be in my moral conduct. Allah has blessed me with good moral conduct, okay, in this day and time of wickedness and evil. And I want to say this right here, too. Allah said, just as the evil in the past, Allah didn't do it. He said, yeah, the evil that the people did, it came back. Their evil came back and destroyed them in time. And Allah said, the evil of this generation we in the 21st century, the evil deeds of these people, he said, will soon overtake them, too. And that's what we see happening. Evil is overtaking people fast, good and bad people. So people of belief and faith in Allah, Allah said the best weapon against evil, the Imam in Atlanta said it, is prayer. And prayer not just in words, but staying in remembrance of your Creator all the time. Don't just pray to Allah at the prayer time, but after you pray at the stated prayer times, while you are out, just be saying things like, Allahu Akbar, the Creator is greater, Allah is greater, Alhamdulillah. And talk to your Creator. Allah said he loves those who call on him all the time. You know why? Because evil is at us all the time, people in this world. And evil, Allah gave evil the respite, the chance to seduce us into evil until we die. So until you die, you are not safe from evil. People, realize that. So live every day being aware that evil, time you get up, it's right there waiting on you to suggest to you to do something evil against the will of your Creator. And you got to be studied up, like the Imam said in Atlanta, prayed up all the time. So you got to be in remembrance of your Creator all the time. And remembering him is remembering what? Him by his divine attributes of goodness, love. You kill evil with love. The power of love of the Creator will destroy evil. The power of the kindness of the Creator will destroy evil. Evil knows this. And again, evil in the Quran says, I fear Allah. So if you're in remembrance of Allah and you're sincere and you don't just pray, but you follow up your prayer with righteous actions in accordance with his will, the Creator and his prophets and messengers, then he said he will protect you. He said he's the protector, Allah, of the believers, the true believers in him. He said those who don't have faith in him, don't believe in him, but believe in evil, any other thing, they have no protection from Allah. So like Muhammad Ali said, if Allah is with me, the whole world can't say, if Allah is for me, the whole world can't be against me. That's when he fought Sun and Lifton, and hardly nobody thought he was going to beat him. A whole lot of Muslims in his faith, they wondered, we wondered, if he had a chance to beat this man who they call the bear. And this man was knocking out people like in the first, second round. I mean, knocking them out, man, like they were little bitty babies. And Muhammad Ali won't scare them because he knew the real Creator, Allah, and he knew Allah had all power. And he said, the rest of them might be scared of you, but I ain't scared of you. And Muhammad Ali got in there and beat him like he owned him, like a baby. So we can defeat evil, but you must stay in prayer. You must be steadfast in your prayer and not just prayer in no certain way, because Allah said we can pray to him standing up, walking, sitting down also. That is in your heart and in your soul and mind. Be always conscious that Allah is right there. Evil is there, but be aware that Allah is there too. He's omnipresent. And his power and his presence will cause evil to flee. Evil will flee when the presence of Allah come on the scene and one of his servants. If they sincere, evil will flee. Evil fears the power of the love of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum asalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. And I do have a number here. Whether you want to speak or not, please do try just in case to give you a chance for the everybody who wants to have something to say. You're given the opportunity to do that. This number is 336-293-8284. Could you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
I can share with you, Sister Isla. I know that number. I know that number, and so they just want to listen at this time.
Right. Yes. Okay. So we give every person the opportunity to listen or to say something. This is what we have to do, and just in case sometimes they want to listen, then all of a sudden they have something they really a question that I have want to ask us or comment they might want to make will
yes.
come to them. So that's why we give
yes.
them a second chance, and after that,
yeah,
we
that's good.
Leave them alone. All right, thank you so much for listening, and we pray that you enjoy the show. But right now, it seems like we only have 3 minutes left here. So next time, Imam Shahid Shabazz, I will give the show back to you.
Okay, first of all, before we conclude this beautiful show today, I hope and pray that Almighty Allah accepts trying to used by him to deliver his message to you, as he revealed this, his message, last and final message of truth to the world through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, as last prophet he sent to all mankind. We pray that he accepts what we said, and it was his truth. And if we said anything that wasn't of his truth, that he forgive us, because none of us did it intentional, because I know the people on the show, and I know they wouldn't intentionally say anything that the Creator wouldn't have them to say. I believe and trust in Allah, and I trust in the believers, and I know all of them are believers in Allah. So I want to thank them for taking out their time and coming on, sharing the beautiful information of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, the life example, and the sayings of our last and beloved Prophet Muhammad, who Allah say is the best example of morality, good morality of all human beings, for any human being that won't have any hope that they can go to heaven on the day of judgment. So you have to follow the example of Prophet Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad, I want all you Christians, Jews, Muslims, other people to know, and other religions, Prophet Muhammad represents all he represents the good and the truth that all the other prophets brought to mankind. That's why the Holy Quran is not just for the Muslims, it's for the whole world. And that's why the United States of America don't want Islam to be taught correctly from the Quran, and as are the other governments. What you say, sister?
50 seconds. Yes.
50 seconds.
Yes.
I want to say, okay, all
wait,
Allah.
Wait minute,
I want to say, all Allah. Okay, we finna end if you let us, please. Oh Allah, accept our teachings today from you, and protect us, all your true believing servants, from the evil today, as you allow evil to bring itself to
its own end and demise and destruction. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Malaikum Islam, thank you for joining us today and joining us each Sunday at the same time.
One who would forbid the wrong, one who